Welcome to the Wise Life Podcast. My name's Dina Morris and I'm a yoga teacher and hypnotherapist here to help you get the best out of life, sharing tools, tips and tactics for powerful aging with wisdom and joy. Good morning, listeners. This episode of the Wise Life Podcast is all about optimism, which may seem a strange choice for a podcast recorded in the tail end of a global pandemic, the like of which we have not seen for well over a century, I think. And in some ways it feels like it's been going on for a century, but I think it's about a year and a half. So why optimism? Well, pre-pandemic, I'd been writing about how optimism allows us to live longer. Optimists have greater longevity. So I wondered whether optimism could be knocked by external forces like pandemics, for instance, or whether optimism is a core value. Oscar Wilde said, "We are all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars." I just wondered whether the stargazing, like Oscar Wilde put it, is still there. Are we still dreaming of our possibilities? There are excellent signs that longevity, according to research released by Harvard School of Public Health, has considerable impact on our longevity. The project was concluded that optimists live a whole 11 to 15% longer than pessimists and are 50 to 70% more likely to reach 85 years old. And if you're sat there thinking, oh my God, who wants to live until they're 85? Maybe it's time optimism came calling for you. Defining optimism as a general expectation that good things will happen, or believing the future will be favourable because we can control important outcomes. The survey, which I think was conducted a few years ago, followed a large proportion of people. I think there was about 70,000 women who took part in this project for 10 years and about 1,500 men for 30 years. The research subjects were surveyed on their level of optimism as well as their health habits. So they were tracking people over quite a long time, and according to the researchers, the results were maintained after accounting for age, demographic factors like educational achievement, chronic disease, depression, and also health behaviours such as exercise, diet, use of alcohol, and primary care visits. Now, this suggests that if we sally forth with a firm conviction that we're going to live long, fulfilling lives, then it is more likely to be so. We will, of course, be living our lives with that expectation and planning for our future, living engaged, active lives that nurture our health, mind, and inner world. So yes, optimists are more likely to eat their vegetables, avoid eating excess junk food, get plenty of rest, exercise, and everything that we know has a valuable impact on our physical and mental health. But of course, every life is touched by trauma, loss, major illnesses, global pandemics, and not necessarily a result of lifestyle choices. So could optimism play a part when life plays hardball? The Harvest Research Group says there's much more study to be done, and it appears that optimism may help us bounce back faster because of our belief of a fulfilling future supports recovery in the now. And that is interesting. If optimism can be built in as a mental health muscle, then living longer and loving living longer is achievable. Basically, changing your mindset, you'll live longer. Now, if you're not sure how optimistic you are, There are a variety of optimism tests that you can find online, and they'll ask you about 10 questions that helps you assess your optimism level. Here are 3 tips for building your optimism muscles right now. Number 1. Dealing with your issues. If you're troubled by past events, getting help letting them go if you're struggling just makes a lot of sense. You're investing in your future by dealing now with what has been hanging on to your coattails for far too long. Holding on to resentment may feel just and fair, but there's an old Buddhist saying, holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and then expecting the other person to die. The only person who gets hurt when you replay past events is you. It causes distress in your body, not the other person's. That tension that you feel is happening to you. That tightening of that jaw, that tension in your face, how that's reacting in your body chemistry is happening to you. It's not happening to the other person. You'll live a much happier life in the long run if you can find ways to free yourself from that weight on your shoulders. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. It frees you. Their guilt is theirs, it's not yours. Food for thought. If you need help in letting go of past resentment, I'd encourage you to find somebody to help you work through that. Number 2, working on your mindset. From inspired biographies to life coach gurus, there are more books and more podcasts out there than you can poke a stick at. And they're all aiming to inspire you to live well and let go of what isn't in your power to change. Look for what resonates with you. Find someone who reminds you of yourself or someone who you admire. There are so many people out there right now. Mel Robbins is amazing if you like strident women who just speak very directly. Tony Robbins is there if you love all that big stadium theatre. There are people out there of every creed, colour, culture. Just start Googling. You'll find someone who inspires you. And if there's a sport that you love, read biographies of people who have triumphed in those sports. You'll get real insight into the work that they did to succeed. And number 3, meditation. There is scientific evidence that mindfulness-based therapy can help you shift from I'm a rainy day person to I'm a sunny day person. And according to experimental psychologist Elaine Fox, that's basically learning to meditate. It does take time and it does take effort, but it does work according to Elaine, who has conducted research with pessimistic students and measured their brain states. So have you had a look at an optimism test yet? If you're like me, you can't resist a good quiz. Just have a Google and see if you can find one you can fill out for free. There are loads out there. I couldn't resist trying another optimism quiz because I just wondered, you know, what would my score be like 2 years on from the last time I tried this when I hadn't had the experience of living in a global pandemic and the many other things that pop up to try our patience during a 2-year period. Well, it turns out that I'm as optimistic as I ever would. I scored pretty well on the last one, and on this one I managed 92 out of 100. Apparently, I'm an inspired optimist who will see a bright future for myself despite challenges, My positive outlook helps me overcome obstacles, and I often use setbacks as opportunities for learning and growth. Well, I don't know about that. I've done a lot of yoga. I haven't learned to speak Spanish, which, along with many, many other people, I suspect, that second language hasn't blossomed in quite the way I was hoping to during this pandemic. But I have done a lot of organizing and tidying, and maybe that has been more fruitful than I'm giving myself credit for. Have you found this podcast useful? Building your optimism muscles is a core value in terms of longevity. So if you're planning on living a long, wise life, working on your optimism can do you no harm whatsoever. And here we are at the end of another edition of the Wise Life podcast. If you found this content useful, I would be very grateful if you could support this podcast by giving me a 5-star rating. And if you've got the time, a review would be amazing. And please, if you have suggestions for podcast topics, I'd love to hear them. Just DM me on Instagram @dina.morris and have a great week.